You say self-audits are akin to handing over the chicken house to the wolf and asking for a report on security issues. That sounds pretty strong. Tell us why you say that.
You can almost liken it to you've completed your tax returns for the year, and rather than the IRS reviewing them, you do it yourself. And you say everything's fine, and it's signed off, and it goes in that way. When HR and the training function actually does an audit of their own function, because they traditionally know what is in the role and what they should be accomplishing and that kind of stuff, they will say how things are going, but usually put a nicer spin on it than a objective third party. So I use the analogy of a wolf looking at a chicken house and saying, yeah, everything's fine, no chance of anybody getting in here, as an opportunity to say, you know, sometimes it would be helpful if maybe the farmer did the actual audit of the chicken house security.
Well, these days, trying to even find a training department in many companies, you're looking at a ghost town. The economy has wiped a lot of them out, hasn't it?
Yes, and it's a sad joke, but for years it's always been, if the company's not doing well, the first thing to go is training. And in some cases, that's a viable business decision because the training department has not been returning on the investment made, even in the salaries, let alone the programs, the facilities, the systems that it takes to run a training function. And yet, what I've always said is the training function should never disappear from a company. Sometimes the people that are running it need to disappear because they're not doing their jobs anymore. But the learning function is essential to a company that wants to continue to succeed and to be here, you know, 5-10 years from now.
This sounds like pretty soft stuff. How does somebody objectively measure it?
Well, most of the time when I'm working with a CEO, they have a pretty firm grasp of what it costs for that department to exist, whether it's salaries, facilities, program dollars that are being budgeted. There is usually very small to large budget lines that they can attribute right back to this department. So what I'm often asked is, do you get that back? Do you get that investment back? And when they can't tell you, chances are that the training function is not running effectively enough, or it is not doing anything to prove that it's returning on the investment. A solid training function should be able to take everything that is being spent on them, recoup that, and then some, if they're truly focused on the company's objectives and making sure that the people that are running those functions and having to do, you know, whether it's make a widget or sell a widget, are able to perform their jobs well enough to meet those goals and objectives. If those goals and objectives are being met, the company is making money. When humans can't do their jobs correctly or are struggling or their productivity is down, then the company is actually losing even more money. So that's how I'll often tie it together, is let's get a grasp on what it's costing you right now, make sure that you're getting your return on that investment, and if not, then we need to figure out why.
As you have told this to the top management of many companies, what's been their response?
Most of the time, there's a big smile or grin that'll say, you know, I've never stopped to look at that. Because it isn't, let's just say we're looking at a bank, their biggest budget line probably is the retail branching operation. And to say, well, how much is the training function impacting your organization? In today's environment, and I would say in the last year especially, the CEO is very in touch with every dollar being spent within their organization, down to the smallest budget. And so when it comes to the training department, they can usually flip through a couple pages and say, yes, this costs me X dollars a year. And when I say, well, are you getting that investment back, or is it just money out the door every year? You know, what is the purpose of the training department? Well, they need to train our new employees. And when I hear stuff like that, that it's just there for the new employees, that means there's a revolving door, and that's why they're keeping them. There's a lot of different indicators that will help a CEO determine whether or not the training function is pulling their weight, if you will.
Tell us about your book.
Well, the book started when I was doing what I call training audits, and there's kind of some humor in the story. When I'd first bring up the word audit, it was about reviewing the function so that it's operating at its peak efficiency. But the word audit, just most people cringe at it. But it also didn't say anything about fixing. It just meant finding problems. So I tried to soften it and say review. That didn't work because everybody said, oh, that's nice. You know, and then it became too soft. And in the course of explaining the process to somebody once, I said, well, it's kind of like you're going to your doctor and they check you out annually in a physical and you find a few things that you're looking at in particular that are very vital, like your blood pressure, your heart, and, you know, that type of thing. And then there's a recommended treatment plan that comes afterwards. And he goes, oh, I get it. So in other words, you're not only identifying the issues, but also the process of how to improve it. And I said, yeah, and like any patient, you can either take your medication and get better, or you can revert back to your old habits. And so in the process of trying to clarify it, I decided to start writing. And the book started to evolve when I realized that there was quite a bit to the process that I needed to clarify, and I clarify a lot of things in my own mind by writing. And before I knew it, the book started to kind of unwind itself, and I thought this would be a great way to introduce a process that truly is kind of unique in the fact that nobody goes out and tries to fix a department that is supposed to be a very strong, supportive unit within an organization. So that's kind of how it evolved. It wasn't, you know, that insightful to begin with, and I decided that one day I'm going to write a book. It was kind of an evolution of the consulting work I was doing and then trying to document it.
Well, tell us about that consulting work. First of all, it sounds like you're fairly unique.
Well, my practice, because I've been in the training development field for some 20 years, has evolved. I used to do a lot of stand-up delivery. I still speak at conferences and that type of thing. I used to do instructional design work. The reason I landed up being a training director and a chief learning officer at one point was the fact that I could do all these functions and manage the whole world around it. Well, my consulting practice started off 5 years ago with, what do you need? You know, and when you're starving, you pretty much do what anyone wants to do. What I started to evolve to is that I truly like to act as a performance consultant, and that means going in, trying to figure out where the issues are, going in and fixing them. In my early careers in retail banking, I hopped from one branch to another as a manager, and they'd say, okay, go fix this one. You know, and I like that part of the job and get truly bored when I'm done fixing something. So the evolution of doing a lot of audits on training departments and saying, okay, here's where areas that are working well, here's where areas that need some fixing, let's get them done. And either I help them or it's enough of a direction to say, you know, you're on your own type of thing.
Let's talk about bottom lines that you have seen in training departments. In your experience, what is the biggest one problem, if there is such a thing as a common problem among them?
You know, I was writing an article for another organization just yesterday, and they asked me to identify the same thing. And I said, you know, it's the lack of skills within the training function of the people that are running training. Back 20 years ago when I started, training departments actually developed trainers to train and facilitate. They taught instructional designers how to create materials that actually aided in the instruction. They taught managers how to manage the training function, being strategic, writing training plans, and learning how to propose solutions. These are all skills that are lacking in a lot of our training people. And I'm not talking about the large organizations that still support this. I mean, you walk into the Fortune 100 or 500, and you're going to find these organizations are still concentrating on this. But the training manager is probably the most underskilled role out there, and it's because the trainer of that organization just happened to be standing in the hallway one day, and they pointed at them and said, hey, you, you're the new training manager. Go hire a trainer, and you're a department. And, you know, they may or may not have even had basic management development in their past, may never have supervised anybody. But when you ask them to say, let's see your training plan, what are the strategic objectives and goals this year that the company has, and how are you supporting them? And they look at you with these, you know, blind stare, the deer in headlight, and I say, okay, now what we're doing is becoming a very reactive organization. and you're just doing whatever somebody yells at you to do, and at the end of the year, as long as you were busy every day, you feel like you've accomplished something.
Jim, this can't possibly be true. How common is this?
Unfortunately, it's becoming more and more common. In the last 5 years, probably what drove me back into consulting work was I saw more and more where you're working with a training manager that is out shopping for, say, management development training. And you'll say, okay, what is it that needs to happen? What skills need to be developed after we're done with this? Well, we haven't looked at that yet. We're looking at our programs first. In other words, and I detail this in the training physical quite a bit, that we need to be in touch with what is it that our skill sets need to be, whether they're career paths or individual operations or service or sales. What is it that people need to be able to do, and identify that before you go shopping for a product or a solution? Whereas a lot of times our training managers then find this training material they love, and they don't know how to go back and sell it or position it because they haven't even identified the reason for training in the first place. So there's a lot of, I do some training manager coaching with training managers that truly found themselves, after several years in a role, and they just don't have anybody to help them out of it and through it. I said, the more I can coach others that, feed them a fish, you feed them for a day, teach them how to fish, you feed them for life. I truly belong to that organization of let's encourage people to learn how to do their jobs, whether it's coaching, mentoring, or training. And I see that if we got our folks to really learn how to do their delivery or design or management roles within training, to do training needs analysis, to do performance consulting well, we'd have better training departments. And that's probably, it comes right back to the purpose of training is to give the employees within that organization the skills to do their jobs. And so this article was train the trainers before training others. And until we have qualified, well-trained people in the training department, we can't hope to, give these the rest of the organization the skills they need.
Well, I think you've sent a lot of our listeners to go fetch the aspirin. Is there a website that you have that people can go to get more information about you,
sure,
your services, and your book?
Well, the probably the easiest one for your listeners to get over audio here is www.thetrainingphysical.com. You can find my consulting site via that also, but that gives you more information about the book and the processes and where to buy the book if that's where you want to start. The interesting thing about the book you asked earlier about why did I write it, and I found myself writing to the training manager that wants to improve and wants to fix their department. In fact, pretty much 95% of the book is written to that audience to read. What I find, though, is that most of the people that buy the book are the executive or senior managers within an organization that want to understand what a training department is supposed to be doing. And so they're using it to engage a little bit more and to see what the department should be working on. And, the training manager isn't the one signing up for a training physical. The senior executive is the one calling me for that.